Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
This is the day that we're supposed to be tuned up, having our lamps trimmed, having oil, which is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, if nothing else. And he's showing us there's a time and a season for different things. You and I are in a unique one now. Verse 37 says that it came to pass that on the next day, that when they were come down, there's this man with a little boy who's got an evil spirit. In verse 39, the father comes and he's begging these apostles that were left down below. And they're down there and they can't cast it out. They can't cast this spirit out. And so he comes and he says, Master, verse 38, help me. Nobody can help me. You know, he needed somebody to lean in. There was a spiritual problem here. And he doesn't give us all the details. Why? Because the thing he's trying to show us is how to be a servant. You want to know what you're going to have to do to be a servant? You're going to have to look beyond all of the things that really distress your heart. And you're going to need to keep plowing forward for Jesus. He comes down, he sees this spirit on this boy. And in verse 40 it says, and I besought thy disciples, the father said, to cast him out, and they could not. What does he say? Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Perversity means to twist things. Perversity is a twisting of things. They thought it was about power. They thought it was about authority. It was, no. In fact, other Gospels were told, he says, this sort cometh not forth except by fasting and prayer. And Jesus didn't take a moment to fast right now. He was in a constant state of fasting and prayer. He says that the woman at the well encountered, they said, Master, do you not want some food? He says, I have meat to eat you don't know of. I'm living in light of my relationship with my Father all the time. So I'm ready. But what they were thinking is, who's going to be the greatest? What's it going to be like? Man, the kingdom's coming. In verse 41, this is what he had to deal with. How long will I suffer you? Verse 42, the Bible says, and as he was yet coming, this little boy is being brought up, the devil threw him down, and he tore him, had a seizure of some sort. The Bible says in verse 42, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. You know what that is, rebuked? That's the word epitamao. The word means literally to place honor. In other words, to focus on what the problem was. It means to address the issue. Do you know what we're doing today? We're talking about cases in our country. Not about deaths. Deaths are way down. We should be celebrating, but we're talking about cases. This is just a no-brainer. We know, we've told you this. But my point is, we're not addressing, we're not honoring the problem. And our society is being turned upside down because nobody will address the real problem and start talking about how the deaths are down and we've got this. We understand, no, they want to ramp it up for political purposes. Jesus addressed the problem. And the Bible says, and he rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child. Eonomai. He healed him. He made him whole. And delivered him again to his father. Now look at this. In verse 43 it says they were all amazed. But while they wondered every one at these things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let these things sink down into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. He says, you need to let this get down into your ears. This is not the season to make tabernacles. This is the season to go down into the valley and to deliver the people from the evil that they found themselves wrapped up in. The Bible says, but they understood not. Now notice, this is the disciples' problem. First of all, they understood not. The idea of ignorance is here. It's agnoeo. We get the word ignorance from that. They did not know. They did not understand. And because they did not understand this saying, it was hid from them. You know what God wants you to do when you don't understand? He wants you to wait for light. He wants you to want the light, and he wants you to apprehend the light. And it says it was hid from them, and they perceived it not. So God says, you know what? I'm going to let you put your hand on the burner. I'm going to let you get bit. You're going to be freaking out. You know, when it came down to it, Jesus was crucified, and they saw it. They were so decimated. They were so demoralized. They did not even hear his final words. He says, go up into Galilee, and I'll go before you on the third day. And they didn't go. They were just in there. Jesus, when he resurrected, he's there. He had to show up down in Jerusalem. They're hiding out down there. You know, he says, you know what? You're supposed to be up there. You see how messed up this is? Just the fact that God tells us these things. You know, somebody said the Bible is not a book man would have written if he could have. And it's not a book that he could have written if he would have. You wouldn't write about your heroes being flawed. God tells us the truth about them. But then what happened? The Bible says they didn't perceive it and they feared to ask him. So fear comes in and you get alienated from God. Remember what happened to Herod? Perplexed. These guys are flirting with the same continuum you and I have to deal with every day. Don't let the devil steal your birthright. Don't let him do it. You and I are supposed to rise up and be servants. Verse 46, it says, there then arose a reasoning among them. Who's going to be greatest? Where'd that come from? They've been hearing about the kingdom of God. They've been talking about the kingdom of God, kingdom of God, kingdom of God. Listen, I could talk to you about the rapture and the millennium all day long, but if you don't hear me when I tell you, you and I might have to suffer a little bit. And that's because you're choosing not to hear that. We have to understand it has been granted unto you. In the Philippians, he said, it's been granted unto you not only to believe, but also to suffer. That was their part. Maybe it will be us. The Bible says the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. It doesn't mean God's mad at us. It means he's willing to put us up on a cross so that they'll see the evidence of things not seen, that we have a resolve, that we believe in Jesus. Listen, if we can't even talk about him, if anybody's ashamed, he'll be ashamed of us. I'm trying to say this is the time to deal with your discipleship. I need to be a disciple. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says in verse 48, you heard him talking about who's greatest. He says, here, look at this. I got this child here. He says, whoever will receive this child in my name receiveth me. I don't want to receive children. I don't like children, somebody might say. They might think, oh, they're a nuisance. They're hard. They're difficult. No, you do it for Jesus' sake. You know, they'll hear you. They'll hear you if you talk about the bad things, too. You know, dad thinks he's being cool, watching the ball game. Here, son, have a drink of my beer. He'll hear you. How's that working out right now? Because now you can't even go to a ball game because the world wants you on your knees. They're not satisfied with you just worshiping at their idols. They want you on your knees. I'm telling you guys, this is a wake-up call and it's a merciful one. And the Bible says, moving on down, I want you to see, John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons, but he didn't follow us, so we rebuked him. He says, he is for us. Now, I want you to know this is about discipleship. There's companions out there you don't even know. Do you remember back in Numbers chapter 11, Moses had a guy run to him and told him, hey, there's two guys named Eldad and Medad in the camp, and they're prophesying. He says, would to God all Israel would prophesy. Would to God all Israel would prophesy. Would to God all were helping people get free. He says, he's for us. That guy's for us. Now, look at this. We kind of wind this down because it says it came to pass that when he should be received up, that he was going to go through Samaria, because he had to go up into Jerusalem, that they would not receive him because they realized he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And so John and James said, Lord, let us call down fire from heaven and wipe this city off the face of the earth, just like in the old days. He says, you do not know what spirit you are of, verse 55. We're not of the spirit of contention. We're of the spirit of love, condescension, therapeuo, ministering menially, and helping people get free. Bible says it came to pass in verse 57 and down that three people came to him, and the first guy said, I'll follow you whithersoever you go. He says, I don't have any place to sleep. How are you going to deal with that? You need to count that up, because you may not have any place to sleep either. Verse 59, he said to one man, follow me. He says, yeah, I'll follow you, but first let me go bury my father. He says, let the dead bury their dead. Verse 61, another guy said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid farewell to my family. Just let me go home and say goodbye. He says, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. He ends with the kingdom of God. Now, as I wrap this up, I want you to know something, that we're living in a day where all of this really is coming into its own. We need to learn to be the servants of God. And that's how I titled the message, Serving the King, right? And if that's going to happen, we're going to have to do it according to what the Bible teaches. Not just these pictures and these vignettes. We can see it in the shadows here. Let me get real specific. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this, that the servant of the Lord must not strive. Oh, it's easy to strive today. You know, you get out there in the world and things are just weird. And we know why. So now that's even harder. But if I know why, just like on public square, if I realize that the world is like an insane asylum out there, then I began to deal with it differently. If I took you with me on a visit to the mental ward in the local hospital with the doors closed so the people can't get out, you'd go in there on tiptoes thinking, I don't want to stir anything up, right? That's kind of what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with a world that is losing its mind. But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient to people, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You know what they're doing? They're opposing themselves. Do you know if they have their way, homosexuals will be thrown off of buildings and killed? Because Islam will have its influence, like the Ilhan Omars and those people, AOC. These people want Islamic kind of stuff. They're living large in America and they're opposing their own selves. They can't drive, they got to wear a hat, their husbands can beat them, that's lawful. This is what they're asking for. They oppose themselves. Christians don't throw people off of buildings. We try to bring them off the ledge so they won't fall off, because it's going to be trouble if they continue to behave in a way that is contrary to the character of God. It says, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So you're looking at that. So we're not supposed to be striving kind of people. So how do you get on this? How do you ride this horse? Don't strive. Be gentle. Be apt to teach. Patient. Understanding. Jude says this, but beloved, when I gave all the diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So wait a minute, I'm not supposed to strive, but I'm supposed to contend? Yeah. Well, how do we contend? He tells us in verses 20 through 23. But you, beloved, first of all, in your contending for the faith, build yourself up on the most holy faith. Get in the Bible. Get to know Jesus. Have him close. Know what world you're living in and understand it. Build yourself up on the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. There's your application. Pray. Start getting down saying, God, I have no idea what they want me to do, but please, please don't let me leave this room until you've given me direction on what I need to be doing here. Save these people and get some names there you know are almost there, and pray them into the family of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. How hard is that? You know, when you go in and you wear that mask because everybody's requiring that, you may not believe in that mask, but if it allows you to witness to one person, you don't have to wear it up over your nose. Pull it down a little bit. I'd say at least here, I wear them just because I have to. I went into Menards the other day. I went in and I said, you know, I don't believe in this, but I'm wearing it. She says, make sure you put it on. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to fight back. You know, I didn't though. I was just trying to give a little truth. I'm testing the waters. That's what I'm not trying to see. Well, where are people? You're living in a world filled with deception. People are living under a lie, and they're behaving in a way that is contrary to science. And yet, we just have to keep ourselves in the love of God. We need to love them, because God loves them. So we need to do that when we have to do it. Try not to be unkind. You can talk to your spouse about it, a brother or sister in the Lord, and say, man, this is crazy. We all understand that. We're in a crazy world right now. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? Looking for souls who are almost getting saved. Look for the mercy. Where's God working? When you see them, you'll be able to talk to them. They'll listen. They'll take a tract. Looking for the mercy. This is how we contend. And then finally, he says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So what I say to you, I say to myself, we need to be not striving, but we need to be contending God's way. And when we recognize that we're in the clearing right now and want people to hear the gospel of Jesus, that he died for our sins, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day so they could be saved, and people right now feel like they're needing a little saving, and Jesus will save you. What will you choose? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.